The last couple months, I've been trying to figure out what I would like to do a topic on. And this is a topic that I've been thinking about quite a bit. And it's on the idea of disobey and obey. So I have both lessons this morning. As you can see, we're going to start on the disobey side, and later we're going to do the obey side. And I have my slides designed this way. So my disobey slides are going to be black with white letters, and my obey side's going to be white with black letters. We'll see how that goes today. So we are going to start off with disobey this morning, and these are just some topics that I really think a lot about, especially when it comes in to this idea of disobey. And of course, we like to give a definition of disobey, and I'd like to kind of get into this just a little bit this morning. So disobey, to not do what someone or something with authority tells you to do. To refuse or fail to obey rules, laws, and etc. So, with that said, I think most of you know that I work in the cybersecurity world. So, I teach cybersecurity and been a part of it for the last 18 years now. I've been in cybersecurity. And it seems like the things in cybersecurity do these things: they disobey, they break rules and laws, and etc. Because we see every day these cybersecurity threats that come out. The idea of it is to break laws and to be malicious against other people, to have gains, to have profits, to trick somebody into doing something. Some of the most recent ones is we know the Equifax breach. Pretty much if you've ever filed for a credit card or something like that, your data has been stolen. Sorry to let you know that, but you probably are aware of that. And if you use Facebook, good luck. All your stuff is out there as well. This is nothing new. Facebook was actually attacked years and years ago, and they have continued to be attacked and breached. This one isn't new. It's just made the news more recent than some of the other news. But this idea that hackers use is disobey. Literally, the logo for most hacking groups is this. Is the word disobey. This is actually a bumper sticker for a group. It's disobey. It's to break rules and to break laws. And of course, working in cybersecurity, I see this logo and this sign all the time, disobey. And it really made me think about this lesson. Especially in the world of cybersecurity, I'm reminded by some of the passages. This is before God destroys the world with the flood. And it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only on evil continually." That's kind of a scary thought. And of course, again, working in this world of cybersecurity, it seems to be that's what the thought is. I've been looking over some recent surveys, and about 20% of all juveniles have done some type of hacking, stealing games or virtual currency, especially with all the virtual currencies out there and how easy they are to steal them. You can see that that's one of the highest rates. Triad-related activities or organized crime and drug trafficking. That's kind of scary. It seems like the minds and intent, is continually on this idea of evil or disobey. Also, we've talked about viruses and malware, and just about people trying to trick you into doing something. It's projected in 2017 that there's 741 million new viruses that were released that year. That means every day there's 2.3 million viruses released against our computers and internet. 2.3 million a day. To attack against our devices. Now, the whole idea of this is to be tricked into having you to do something, to disobey. These people are not obeying the laws. They are trying to trick you. I don't want to tell on Jenna or anything, but she accidentally did this yesterday. It's a simple thing that can happen. You be tricked into doing something. That's what these things do. And it wasn't on one of my computers, so it's fine. And when I think of this, being tricked by somebody being disobedient, I think of Eve first. So in Genesis 2 and 17, it says, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day that you eat, you shall surely die. So they're given a warning. And then in Genesis 3, 4 through 5, when the serpent visits Eve, it says, the serpent said to Eve, said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So disobedience, Eve was disobedient. She did not follow what God wanted her to do. She was tricked into doing something. So just like with a computer virus, we're tricked. We can be tricked to do something for disobedience. I believe that the devil constantly works on us to be tricked, to go into disobedience. Just like one of the most famous computer viruses out there, I don't know if anyone remembers this, but there was one called the I Love You virus in 2001. Basically, this, you know, had damages of over $10 million. And the whole idea of it, it's called social engineering. It means it tricked you socially into doing something. This is where most cybercrime and things happen, is you've been tricked into doing something. So this one was an email that looked like somebody was having a love confession to you, and all it said was, I love you, in the title. Well, as you can imagine, billions and trillions of people actually clicked on that, causing billions of dollars worth of damage to internal systems. This was a social engineering attack. They were tricked to do something. Again, that's how most viruses work. Most viruses don't get into a computer system and wreak havoc. Somebody had to do something. Normally, somebody, whether good intent or not, had to initiate something. So I think of this initiation, that somebody had to do something that probably went against the security policies or whatever at a company. They've been tricked into doing something. So we have another couple ideas of tricked. We have this story of the old prophet. And I would like just to mention this because, again, he was not obedient to God's word, and we'll see what happens to him. So here the old prophet in 1 Kings 13, starting in verse 16, it says, and he said, I cannot return with you, nor go in with you, nor can I eat bread or drink water with you in this place. For I have been told by the word of the Lord, you shall not eat bread or drink water there, nor return by going the way you came. So the person he was talking to said, oh, that's okay. Here in verse 18, he said to him, I too am a prophet as you are. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you to your house so that he may eat bread and drink water. But he was lying to him. So this person was tricked. Now, there's a lot more to this story, and I convince everybody to go back and read 1 Kings 13 about the old prophet here. But what happened to this old prophet? If you guess that he was mauled by a lion, you're right. So in 1 Kings 13 and 24 says, when he was gone, after he had eaten and drank, which God told him not to do, that he disobeyed God's word, a lion met him on the road and killed him, and his corpse was thrown into the road, and a donkey stood by it, and the lion also stood by the corpse. Right? That's pretty drastic from what happened, from what this person did, from disobeying. Again, I convince everybody to go back and to read part of that, but that's what happened from disobedience. And he was also tricked, but there's quite a story there. So we can think of other people that were tricked. We can think of Jacob, Leah, and Rachel. And again, you know, my little one's named Jacob, so I was really like, wow. And then Jacob also, and Laban. So there's a lot here in Genesis with being tricked. And I think of Samson and Delilah here in Judges in 16. I think of this idea of being tricked. This idea that they were led to believe something, but they did it in disobedience. So, also, going along with the idea of being tricked into disobedience, I think of the children of Israel. Now, I was talking to several after services on Wednesday, and again, it's always amazing to think that God had just done something and the children of Israel went against his word. And we see that time and time again. And there are several specific incidences of the children of Israel that we see this happening to. But I just thought I would mention this one verse. There's several incidences. And again, if I was in that same circumstances of the children of Israel, I don't know what I would have done. So I'm not, you know, blaming the children of Israel or anything like that. I'm just saying that they were disobedient to some of the things that God said. And hopefully we can use this as a warning. So right here in Joshua 5 and 6, and it says, "For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people who were men of war who came out of Egypt were consumed, because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers that he would give us, a land flowing with milk and honey." So we see this idea of obey here, that they did not obey his voice, so this was the circumstances. Now, we are going to relay this to our daily lives today as Christians about the idea of obey, but we see what happened to the children of Israel here, that they did not obey what God had said. Now, we have some other specific stories about this same time frame, about people obeying and disobeying. We have Nadab and Abihu. So we have Aaron's sons here that didn't abide by God's will. So we have Leviticus 10, 1 and 2. We have then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So the fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Now, these are some pretty gruesome stories of disobedience. But I was thinking that these are the ones that we really need to focus on, these ideas of disobedience, that they didn't obey what God had told them to do. So they did not practice what God had asked them to do here when they were probably going to do a sacrifice. Now, Moses, we know it happened to him the same way, at the waters of Meribah. So I'd like to read this and then just think about what God had mentioned to him. So in Numbers 20, starting in verse 8, it says, "Take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and I will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals." So that's verse 8. Now we know that that's not what Moses and Aaron did. We know that he struck the rock and he said, "Shall we bring forth water?" So now here's the consequence in verse 12. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring the assembly to the land which I have given them." Because they disobeyed God, they did not go to the land. And I was kind of studying this last night. So we know that Moses and Aaron was not able to go to the land. But it would also seem that this also caused Aaron his life. And I'd like to just to read over these next set of verses here. Staying in Numbers, going down to verse 24. I'd like just to take a look at this. I read over this several times last night, and I thought a different way last night, but now I'm starting to lean a different way. So it says, "Aaron shall be gathered to his people, for he shall not enter the land which I have given to the children of Israel, because you rebelled against my word at the waters of Meribah. Take Aaron and Eleazar, his son, and bring them up to the Mount Horeb. And strip Aaron of his garments and put them on Eleazar, his son. And Aaron shall be gathered to his people and die there." I thought it meant that he just went back to his people and died with his people. But in his people here, I believe it means ancestors. So he was gathered to his ancestors, which means he did not go back to his people. He literally died right there, right then and there. And just to kind of go on in verse 28, it says, "Moses stripped Aaron of his garments, put them on Eleazar, his son, and Aaron died there on top of the mountain." And the way I read this in verse 24, because you rebelled against my word at the waters of Meribah, it seems to be related to his disobedience to this part here. He was not able to go into the promised land, that God took his life there due to his disobedience. Also, I'm reminded of Lot's wife in Genesis 19, starting at verse 17. And it came to pass, when they had brought them outside, that he said, "Escape for your life." Now, this was an angel talking to Lot here. "Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed." So they're given instruction here on what to do. And we know that Lot and his two daughters did this, but Lot's wife, not so much in verse 26. "But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt." She disobeyed the instructions. She disobeyed what was addressed. Now, us as Christians were also given some orders. And just talking with disobedience, and like I'd mentioned here in a little bit, when we go into the next lesson, we'll talk about the idea of obey and obedience. But with obey, let's look at Romans 2, 6 through 8. And let's just kind of look at these verses here. "Who will render to each one according to his deeds? Eternal life is those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But those who are self-seeking do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath." So I thought it was interesting the way that this is worded here. We normally use the term disobey when you're disobedient. But this term here in Romans 2, 6 through 8 mentions to obey unrighteousness. It talks about who the good is here, that the good seek glory and honor of those things that God has given to us. But those who are self-seeking for themselves and they do not obey the truth, they obey unrighteousness. So with the idea of this lesson, I've touched on a lot of pieces. I had a lot of comments about my tie this morning. My tie is actually a computer board. It's a PC board that's printed to kind of keep along with the theme of cybersecurity in pieces. We talked about the idea of people being disobedient. I think of the ones who try to trick people and to try to steal their funds or their money or their identity, about how they're always seeking to do these things. It kind of fits in this obeying unrighteousness. This idea that they're always trying to break the law, that they're trying to get away. Now, if anybody is interested, that's what I do. I teach students to try to catch those people. I don't teach students how to do those things. But how to catch these people that are doing wrong. This disobedience. But I was thinking, with this disobedience in this world, you may go to jail for that. But if we're disobedient in our spiritual lives, we have a different place that we would be sent to. Because we know to be obedient, we need to follow his will. Deuteronomy 28 and 15 says, "But it shall come about, if you do not obey the Lord your God, to observe, to do all his commandments and his status with which I charge you today, statutes that I charge you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you." Now, these I consider very strong words of warning. To observe all of his commandments and his statutes. Because if you don't, all of the curses will overtake you. Now, I don't want to take this out of context, but he is, talking here, but I just really like that the way that this comes down to observe all of his commandments. Because even today, we should be observing the commandments of Jesus. And we know that He has commanded us to do things. And one of those things is to obey the gospel. Now, I will get into obeying the gospel here in our next lesson, and about the importance and the idea of obeying the gospel. But we know we need to obey and follow God, because even in this verse here in Deuteronomy, it mentions about how all of the curses will be put upon you if you don't obey God. We know to be obedient to the gospel, as we'll get into the next lesson, would be to follow the gospel, to be baptized and come to do His will. And if you would like to do that now, please come forward as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.